This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The following contains graphic depictions of body horror. You are listening to Tales from the Guild Shadows of Paradin. This is part 32 of our story. If you have missed the other parts, you can find them on freefm.org.nz or on your favourite podcast distributor. When we last left our heroes, having been called in as witnesses, the party watched and participated in the discussion about how to proceed with King Tiberian's ultimatum, with the council deciding to draft up a treaty and evacuate the people of Ishikar. Yeah, the council adjourned around 3-4 in the afternoon, and about an hour later, Tanwyn, you were called to General Amethyst's office.
Oh.
Someone's in trouble.
I don't think I'm in trouble. I think she's calling me to be like, I support you and I trust you. Yeah, absolutely.
Tanwyn's undying optimism.
Yep, I will go along to her office.
You find the office is set up with a solitary chair in front of her desk.
Mm. You called for me, General.
I did. Please, have a seat.
Of course.
I am well aware of your disagreements with our decisions.
Aye.
And whilst normally I would not do this, as you are one of the core members putting yourselves on the line to bring this back to the ghoul that considers himself King Tiberian of Ishigar.
Aye.
I thought it would be best if we had a talk.
Well, of course.
Hypothetically, how would you deal with them?
Hypothetically, of course. My general, as I am not a soldier, I'm a blacksmith after all. I would make sure his guard was lowered, this king, that's what he calls himself, and I would make sure to cleave his head clean from his shoulders. I believe the crown is the thing that is causing this hive mind of ghouls, and removing the crown should remove the problem at its source. And if I am wrong, then
you would be committing thousands of people to their deaths.
I don't see how we're not doing that already. To be completely frank, General.
That is why, as a part of the treaty that has been written up, a 1 month grace period has been requested to evacuate.
Aye. May I speak freely?
Sure.
I don't think a single person is going to evacuate from that town. That's their home. It's not just a piece of paper to be traded to somebody else. Where would they go? What other homes do they have? When my town was attacked by bandits, we didn't leave. The people who survived stayed and they rebuilt. Even the bandits. I know that this is an opportunity to clear out all of the ne'er-do-wells in Ishigar. But it's their home too. And they are proud of it and they would fight for it. And I don't think that they would hand it over easily to ghouls.
No.
I think this evacuation order is going to cause a lot more deaths than it'll save.
We also have no real way of fighting them.
So let's use the grace period to find out a way. The crown is Trollstone. We've just discovered it. We're just learning what it can do. And this Henrys Fulgor, this tyrant from 300 years ago, he's the one who gave it to the ghouls. He knows how to use it, and he knows what it's capable of. He's the one we've got to find. And I don't believe that he would be someone who would give over power to a different king. He knows what the crown is capable of, and he can manipulate it, I'm sure of it.
Quite likely.
He's the key. I just don't know where to find him.
And that's part of the problem. The other part is there are thousands of ghouls in Ishigar, and they have been gathering in the darkest parts of those swamps, basically forever, before that crown was in place.
Aye, and the people of Ishigar have been fighting them back with not a lot of help from us, if I'm being completely honest.
But that's the thing, they haven't been. There's only ever been a couple of ghoul sightings every year or so. Where have they all been, and what have they been doing? And why haven't they eaten every living thing in that swamp yet?
Aye, now there's the rub, isn't it, General?
This is just my hypothesis, but I think that king has had sway long before that crown was on his head.
All the more reason to not give him what he wants, then. In my opinion, he's not going to stop at Ishigar.
No, but if we kill him, that turns thousands upon thousands of ghouls feral on a defenseless town.
So what's the answer here? I'm no tactician, General.
No,
I'm just the one who gets ordered around.
Yes, but you are also one of, weirdly enough, my three best agents.
Don't let the other two hear you say that. You'll never live it down.
We have a plan now that we are aware of the stakes, but it does need Ishigar evacuated. I don't know how it came to be, but there is a swamp atop a cliff, which means that swamp can be drained, which means they can't hide underwater from our dragon fire.
Aye. You want to clear out the tunnels. You want to drain the swamp through the tunnels.
We were actually thinking of breaking the cliff faces.
Well, there's a lot of people living in those tunnels, so we'd better make sure that they're all out.
Yeah. I mean, you are right. People are unlikely to want to move, but at the same time, it's a choice between that and getting overrun by ghouls.
Aye. Well, the people who will evacuate will do so, and this, speaking as one of the common folk myself, the people who won't will not, and they will die there. Is that something that can live on everybody's conscience?
It has to. What choice do we have? Because you are right. We are stuck in a place where if we do nothing, they all die. If we do something, they might all die. And if we fight them, then even more die.
I don't know if my team is the right team to go in and help evacuate these people.
Oh, you're not going to evacuate. You guys are going to the diplomatic meeting with this.
Diplomatic?
I suppose diplomatic meeting is the wrong. You're delivering a message.
Okay. You're putting an awful lot of faith in us, General.
Again, we don't have a choice. The king has made it very clear that the only person he wants to speak to is Amadeus.
Mm. He's really got you by the short and curlies there, hasn't he?
Yes. That said, I am not about to send the three of you in defenseless.
Okay, that is good to hear.
She reaches down and opens at one of the drawers in her desk, and you hear her open a secret compartment in it.
Click.
Yeah. And you see her pull out this glass cylinder with a gold cap on either end that come to a point with a bowl on each point. And inside is this tiny marble-sized ball of blue flame that is zinging around inside of that cylinder.
Whoa. That looks awful dangerous, General.
Eh.
Put in the right hands, maybe, or maybe the wrong ones.
It's dangerous if you're undead.
Okay.
Now, from reading Amadeus's very detailed reports...
Aye, he's very good at them.
The three of you encountered statues of the Archon Thelmor and his children.
Oh, why? We did that and all.
This is a Will-o'-the-Wisp, the holy creatures of Thelmor, the Archon of Death.
I think we saw those in the swamp.
They detest undead, and undead hate them.
Oh.
As Will-o'-the-Wisps are beacons that draw souls, and sometimes even bodies, to the next life.
One true death. They also give you terrible nightmares, or so I've heard.
Of course. Of course they looked at it. Mm-hmm. Of course they looked it in the face.
Well, I was fine. You see one blue flame floating around in a swamp, you see them all. I slept like a babe. You don't have to worry about me, General.
She just kind of gives you this look of both nice and also, is she perhaps too stupid to...
Yes. The answer to both of those questions, Zeb, is yes.
Yeah.
But if you find yourselves overwhelmed for one reason or another, for example, the terms that we have set being disagreeable.
Aye.
Which they might be. We are hoping they're not. But if they are, then hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Aye. It's good to know we've got a little bit of extra help on our side.
Yes. Break this.
Aye.
It should kill most of them.
Aye.
Should. And a great majority more will be deterred from approaching.
That sounds like a fine plan to me, General.
Yes. Additionally, she plants down a flare. You guys have a set of flares with various different colors.
Mm-hmm.
She hands you a black flare.
Ooh.
If things go wrong, crack this.
All right. You don't need to tell me what it does.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
I will keep it on my person anyway. Thank you for the vote of confidence, General Amethyst. It means a lot.
You're welcome. Are you okay with going through with this plan? Because it is, unfortunately, the best one we have.
Well, the fact that you have given me the opportunity, if things go wrong, to crack that stupid king over his head with a will-o'-the-wisp is of great comfort to me.
Again, hopefully it won't come to that.
Aye.
You seem awfully enthusiastic about doing that.
Just gave a toddler a loaded gun.
Hey, you know, it's always good to have a backup option. Anything that I can do for the citizens of Ishigar.
Give me an insight check.
She might be giving the weapon to the wrong person.
No, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. My insight is pretty bad. Oh, yeah. That's a 12.
Though she hides it rather well, there is a mild look of concern of just like, am I making the right decision here on her face?
General Amethyst, I will do everything in my power to ensure that the actions that I take during this difficult time will do Lord Artifora proud. And I swear that on my honor.
Upon my troth.
Hey, so, hold on.
Joe, your face is turning red.
Hey, sorry, man. I swear that on my honor as a Darnia.
Fine. I am totally not panicking out of character.
I'm panicking in character.
No, she'd be right. Didn't can possibly go wrong. I'll put it right here in my pocket.
It cracks.
No. Ah, no.
We're fine. Probably.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Then you are dismissed.
Hey, my lady. General.
You will be heading off at dawn. Make sure the other two are aware.
A quick turnaround. All right, I'll let them know.
Well, we don't have that much time left.
No, I didn't think we did. Oh, well, another ride on the dragons. So much fun. All right, good evening. Sorry, I'm still not sure how to... And she kind of gets up and awkwardly walks over to the door and just kind of closes it behind her. Goodbye.
There's a reason Amadeus does most of the talking than this.
Yes.
Because he's less awkward.
As you leave and close the door, she just sits there contemplating all that has gone down, pulls out a note and starts writing up a plan for Tanwyn's inevitable jumping off the gun.
Nah, it'll be fine.
We are, conversely, the most successful group that the Darnia has, and the biggest...
The loose, liabilities?
The biggest loose cannons.
Let us trust our instincts.
Yeah.
Basically, she is now writing up orders for more people than she had initially planned to be departing tomorrow.
She's got a lot of contingency plans just in case.
Yes.
Yeah. An hour or so after you all leave, so that you're not aware of them.
Smart. I would have suggested she do that anyway.
Oh, she was. Now about twice as many people going to fight the potential immediate wave of ghouls that are going to attack the town.
Nah.
We're fine.
Nah, she'll be right.
Sure.
We are nothing but competent.
We are the most competent. We're extremely competent.
We have a 200% success rate,
Zeb. We sure do.
Yes.
We're very good at our jobs.
This is just going to keep this 200% going. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
What are you worrying about, Zeb?
Yeah, no worries.
We are the epitaph of competency.
We're the best to ever do it.
I've given the girl with 8 intelligence a bomb.
Yeah.
And that's what you do when you have a soldier.
She's also the one with the least amount of impulse control and the drive to suddenly blow up a bunch of ghouls.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've seen the crown, right?
Oh, yeah.
I probably should have done this on the way back from meeting the guy, but can I legend lore the crown?
Ah.
Ooh, good idea.
Just because of, you know, recent discussion we had at the chamber, I figure knowing a little bit about how the crown works and stuff would probably be a good idea.
As you cast legend lore, the book flips open to a page that has the header Crown of Kin Domination.
Oh,
whilst you're attuned and wearing this crown, all creatures that share... Basically, if you're a human, you can control all humans. If you're a dog, you can control all dogs. And in this case, if you're a ghoul, you can control all ghouls. This is a gift from Kavort the Tyrant to Henrys Fulgore. To build an army.
Well, I know my patron's been distracted, but given that I've just pinged this, do I get a
notification?
Your patron has Googled? Crown of Kin Domination, would you like to follow up? No!
As you're reading this, you are seeing something on the bottom of the page getting written. It's just like, well, aren't you in quite the pickle? Have you acquired this? Or have you seen this be used?
Seen it used? How familiar are you with the swamps of Ishagar and those that dwell within it?
Fairly.
Are you aware of the ghoul population?
Oh, no.
Yes. Guess what kind of creature is wearing this crown? And the first two guesses don't count. The former / last king of Ishagar. Have fun dealing with that mentally.
Oh, that's quite frankly not the most surprising thing I've heard. But that is worrying for you.
Yeah, considering I'm the only one he wants to negotiate with.
I see.
I draw a panic face in the book.
Amadeus and Mint emojis.
Right. I was going to give you this gift later, but I think I will give you temporary access to this now.
Much appreciated. Please and thank you.
For the next week, you have access... I can't remember what the name of the invocation is off the top of my head, but it allows you to write up to 5 names in your book, and they have the effects of Death Ward for the next 24 hours.
Excellent! I will quite happily take it. Mm. Right.
You have been temporarily loaned the Gift of the Protectors, which, Death Ward on people that you whose name you write in the book.
Well, I know what I'm going to be writing when 5 minutes before the meeting. So,
King Ishika.
No.
So yeah, temporarily, your book is the opposite of a death note.
That's funny.
Anyway, panic. All right.
When Magnus gets a spare moment, he's going to chill with the scarf for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess doesn't really verbally communicate with the beings within, but it's just kind of like, wonder what the ghosts think about all of this, and try to vibe check, basically.
How much are you opening yourself up to this?
Magnus is going to let the barriers go down.
Fully?
Yeah.
Wow.
He trusts the ghost boys now.
The boys!
Yeah.
As you do that, your vision shifts.
Oh, no, I drank too much.
And you find yourself, it is a 3-dimensional space that you're in, but you look like you're inside of a tapestry.
I guess they can't hear that.
Yeah.
Magnus looks over his body and is a little freaked out.
Yeah. And before you are the 30 or so ghosts.
The regulars.
Yeah, that summon when you activate your rage.
Mm-hmm.
But in this space, they are not ghosts. You can see them in their full glory.
Do they look like they're in a tapestry?
Yeah, you yourself don't look like it, just the space around you.
Mm.
They do look like they would be depicted if the tapestry that you wear as a scarf was full.
Mm. Yeah.
And find yourself sitting at this giant round table, essentially,
mm-hmm.
with the 30 heroes that live in your scarf. And the one that you talk to the most, a Goliath general, you know this story the most because he's interacted with you the most.
And yep.
Basically, he earned his... He got put in this tapestry for the defense of Ishagar when basically the last time...
The last stand, or...?
Not the last stand, but the last time there was a ghoul wave.
Ah.
Oh, so they've been put in the tapestry as like a reward for... Good service, or as more of a record of what's happened?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is it was like a tapestry that recorded the heroes, but when Ishagar fell, it was sort of soaked in the blood of its citizens.
And got affected by the funky magic that keeps bringing people back from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ghouls more or less don't appear outside of Ishagar. They just, for whatever reason, regularly appear here.
Undead swamp.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Not to say that there aren't ghouls outside of Ishagar. It's just...
Much less common.
Oh, yeah. This Goliath general is sitting to your right. Well, now, this is interesting. Welcome. We were never expecting you to enter our halls, considering how resistant you have been to our getting taught by us.
Yes. Well... Your lessons have served me well, and with the events that I'm involved in now seems childish.
Yes, we are aware of who you have found yourself face to face with. And I know for my part, I find it deeply disturbing, as do most of us. In general, there is a look of agreement.
Mm.
Ghouls have been a problem since. Actually, I believe I'm not the one that should be best speaking on this. And there is an old, old figure right across from you on the table.
Mm.
It is interesting because all of them have different art styles.
Yeah.
As different...
As it sort of developed over the years.
Yeah. And though you aren't sure how you know this, the one right across from you is the oldest.
Mm.
And as you look at them and study them, the one right across from you was a king. They are depicted with their crown.
Hmm.
They have the most regal attire. If you were to put them all in the real world, this guy has, like, the most expensive stuff on him because he's a king. And he speaks up. Yes, I am King Harald the First of Ishgar, the founding king.
Ooh.
It is hard to make out the details because of how old this figure is.
Mm.
If this tapestry was whole, with how old this figure is, they would be extremely faded. You're finding it hard to make out facial details and all that kind of stuff. Like, the only reason you're aware he has a crown is because it's a different color than the rest of... Basically just have variations of faded colors.
Yeah.
When we were fighting to establish this land, we had to ward off the attempts of a... I believe the term that you use nowadays is necromancer. She was my cousin.
Woof.
She was older than I was by about a year. And when we were establishing this land, both of our parents died to sickness, leaving questions about who of the two of us would rule in their stead. And at the end of things, it was decreed that I would be, as I was the oldest living male. She did not take kindly to this news and swore that she would rule over anything I built, even if it had to be a city of corpses. And she vanished. At the time, I thought nothing of it. Well, I mean, I thought plenty of it, but after a decade or so, with nothing happening, just kind of move on until she returned with her armies. Thousands and thousands. Countless undead. We lost most of our lands to them, being left with just the one city, Ishgar. But eventually, I managed to lead a small group on what was at the time deemed a suicide mission. Our last hurrah, a final attempt to slay her. And by some miracle, we did. And I was dubbed a hero for it. And thus was memorialized in the Tapestry of Heroes, the first hero of our land. But my cousin, in her dying breaths, laid a curse upon our kingdom that the dead would eventually return and try to consume the living. And aside from that curse, as her final action surrounded our castle with the swamplands, drowning our fields, many, many more people and animals and life. And it would seem that my cousin's curse has yet to be broken. I do not blame people for not having done so, as we never figured out how to do so ourselves. But it would seem that things are getting to that point where it might just have to happen. The 30 of us are in agreement on this. If you can bind us around the neck of that final king, we will sacrifice our memories, whatever vestige of our souls remain in this tapestry, and seal that curse. But you would lose us.
Damn, you barely even got to know them.
You would lose that heroic spirit that you can tap into that has allowed you to save the two that you travel with time and time again. But if you did, there would never be another ghoul in Ishgar.
Yeah, Magnus is
wow,
pretty stunned by that. He's sort of grappling with this idea of, okay, finally going to accept the heroes in my scarf. The first thing they do is, yeah, get rid of us.
The first thing they do is be heroes.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's like, oh, I should have figured that out. And so Magnus will say, and this is your wish?
If that is what must be done.
We're all getting the buffs. But at some cost, I guess. Well, I mean,
who knows?
Who knows?
Do it and it doesn't even work. And it's like, oh.
Fuck!
Now, you can't just throw us around his neck. You will have to weaken him. But in theory, this will... It won't break it. It will just simply bind it. Should we ever be unwound from his neck, the curse would come back into effect.
I guess I would have to return you to the swamp.
Yes. The Goliath next to you slaps you on the back, and you would have to learn another way to go about things.
Well, thanks to the lessons in arms that I've been taught, I managed without calling upon you constantly before. I'm sure I'll find a way forward.
One last hurrah, hey boys? There is a chorus of shouts. We do hero's work. Go on, young Magnus. It's time to do the hero's work.
Yeah.
Magnus is just going to sort of like nod as he fades back into reality.
You're listening to Tales from the Guild, Shadows of Paradigm.
We're not telling each other about these secret conversations we're having, are we? We're keeping that secret from our friends for the drama.
I'm telling you guys about the crown.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess to go meta and talk about Magnus's thought processes. Magnus is basically going to be like, well, my friends aren't just going to let themselves die. So when the time comes to it, we'll just jump at them.
Yeah.
And they'll have to follow along.
Yes. The thought process of an idiot.
Have you met these two?
Yeah,
I imagine Tanwyn's probably got much a similar kind of...
Tanwyn's in a very low trust era with Amadeus right now, so she's not telling him shit.
What did Amadeus do to deserve that?
You kept giving away her stuff.
You know.
Look, Amadeus is trying.
He sure is.
Although, actually, Magnus would have noted how fiercely Tanwyn argued. For sparing Ishigar. And Amadeus is doing nerd things with the book.
Yeah, so now it's time for the smart people to have a little secret chat.
What am I, a book wall?
Now it's time for the street smarts to take over.
Oh, no.
The swamp smarts.
Oh, boy.
What would Magnus and Tanwyn's idea of a secret location to have a secret discussion be?
Probably the corner of the mess hall.
Yeah, pub.
Either that or the library, because that's where nerds go and it's all quiet and stuff and nobody says anything.
Yeah.
The pub. And we wait for the bard to start singing.
Mm. And we sit in the darkest...
Hoods up.
Yeah, hoods up. Real
edgelord.
Yeah, real edgelord, real inconspicuous. Everybody walking past like, what are those two doing?
Gosh dang it.
Where's the third idiot that's usually... with?
Got their hoods up, but we can see their faces.
And Tanwyn's very clearly dressed as Tanwyn.
Oh, yeah. He's
yeah,
still
yeah.
In
there's
armor
the bags all there and everything.
Yeah. It's,
actually, no, because she has a bag of holding now.
I do have a bag of holding
if
now.
If I remember correctly,
the bag of holding
empty.
Only has so much. Hoarder's mentality, Tanwyn's still going to be carrying a full backpack.
Easy access. Bag of holding is for stuff that she doesn't need immediately, but the backpack is for everything that she might need to grab out at a moment's notice.
Which is everything.
Which is a lot of things, yes.
Yeah, not everything.
Anyway.
Yes,
so yes.
The two of you are having a secret confab.
The two of you are in the corner of the mess hall. It's about 6 in the evening, so it's crowded, and there are so many conversations going on that you guys probably don't even need to talk all that quietly, and it'll just get added to the cacophony.
And once again, Amadeus has completely forgotten that it's dinner time.
Oh, yeah.
usually reliant on one of these two to be like, grab him by the arm or the ear and be like, Amadeus, you're coming to get food.
It's because Amadeus doesn't eat that much, so you can always eat the leftovers.
Yeah.
I guess it's like we both meet up and it's like, you're not grabbing Amadeus?
No, I thought you were going to grab Amadeus.
Maybe... we could have a quick word before...
Well, he doesn't really eat that much, so I suppose it doesn't matter if...
If he misses out on the crispy potatoes.
Aye.
He's going to have the sad, soggy ones afterwards.
I mean, it's not like he pays attention.
it's
like,
fuel.
Yeah,
it's like...
He's got a book in one hand, he's got a fork in the other one, he's not looking at what that hand is doing.
Pretty much.
If Amadeus could be on an all-liquid diet...
One of those Soylent guys.
Yeah.
Imagine Amadeus is a smoothie guy. Just nothing but like the most insane smoothies going.
Either smoothies and like rice cakes.
Well, either that or he'll take like a Saturday and just prep all his meals for the week. And they are all in wraps.
just a bunch of chicken wraps.
You know, he'll condense them all down to, like, wraps with, like, chicken or meat, some veg, a little bit of rice.
Even though all the food that he could ever want is provided for him.
At the end of the week. So he was pretty set on evacuating and letting those ghouls take over Ishagar, huh?
Yeah, but I think his heart was in the right place.
I don't think he's had a lot of practice learning about what people really will do in a situation like that. In your books, you say, oh, get out of town and your lives will be saved. And everyone says, okay, but when you're dealing with a 85-year-old man who's never walked more than half an hour away from his front door, he's not leaving. And a family with three kids and no one else and they don't know where to go, they're not leaving. So maybe there's a different path that we could take that doesn't involve letting the ghouls take over Ishagar, potentially.
And Magnus is going to lean in super suspiciously. I'm very glad this isn't an intrigue campaign.
We picked the wrong characters. Yeah. For
you intrigue. Did. I told you what type of campaign this was going
you
to be.
You picked Tanwyn.
I did.
And I built a character specifically for this.
Hey, Magnus finally got serious. Okay? Magnus He's locking in. He's doing his bit.
Magnus is locking in his backstory-related stuff.
Yeah.
This is a thought.
Yay. Good job, Magnus.
You know how when we fight sometimes there's those ghost guys?
Oh, hey, and they come out from your neck and you're scared of them.
I got not scared of them.
Oh, well, that's good, isn't it?
And I had a talk with them.
Oh, so you're old friends now. Oh, that's nice. I don't see how that has to do with the ghouls.
Well, I don't think I ever told you this, Tanwyn, but they're from Ishagar.
Oh, I guess that kind of makes sense because you're from Ishagar and the scarf is from...
Not all cursed objects from the same place, but...
Well, this one is, though.
Yeah, okay.
It's not even a cursed object.
That's how Magnus sees.
He's still kind of scared of them.
Well, it's more like scarf you can't take off, although maybe he can take it off now. Anyway, well, I had a talk with them.
Hey.
And they've said that if we can subdue the Ghoul King and put the scarf around his neck, there's some kind of curse that's making the ghouls wake up and it'll stop.
Oh. Now, I had a talk to General Amethyst. She gave me a little tube. It's filled with a big, scary fireball.
Don't they stop you sleeping?
Not me, because I'm really good at what I do. And she said if I smash it over his head, it should kill him or at least take him out.
That is not what she said in the slightest.
Yeah, absolutely, that's what she said.
That's how Tanwyn interpreted it.
Yeah, got to smash it over his head.
She explained it to completely the wrong person.
Yeah. It'll take him out, it'll put him down, we'll have the advantage. And that, I think... combined with your scarf. If things go wrong, maybe that's the way we can win. Oh, and don't tell Amadeus I said this, because it'll all go to his head. But she said that we are the best team of Darnia that she's ever had, so...
Well, that's just stating facts.
Mm.
Again, not what she said.
Oh, and also she said we're leaving at dawn tomorrow.
Oh, that's early.
It is early.
That is what she said.
What she said, a huge valley, what Tanwyn heard.
Yes.
So
I don't think it's worth thinking about if we fail too much, because I think if we fail one way or the other, we're not coming home, Tanwyn.
I suppose that's one way of thinking about it. But things come for to the worst. We've got options now.
Should we tell Amadeus?
Maybe we tell him when we're there.
When we do the thing.
Maybe we tell him when we're there. Maybe we tell him before it's too late for him to try anything. Maybe we tell him when it's too late for him to tell the Ghoul King that we've got things that can harm him.
Wouldn't that be maybe a bit too late?
I don't think so. I think that's the perfect time. Either way...
They only have four brain cells between the two of them.
And they're pinging about. They're trying really hard.
They're working overtime.
Either way, if we don't go and get him for dinner, I don't think he's going to make it to dawn.
He probably should eat.
You're fairly certain he missed breakfast because he never remembers breakfast.
No. Well,
he doesn't eat unless we remind him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only reason he eats when you're out on a mission is because we're all literally sitting around the fire and Tanwyn's shoving a plate of food in his face and telling him to eat it.
It'll put meat on your bones. God knows you need it.
Yeah.
The beanpole.
This campaign has changed trajectory so much from where it started.
I feel like it's been going great.
Oh, it has been. It's just, you know, we started off actively needing to put the body horror warning at the start of every episode. We now almost don't need it half the episodes.
Oh, don't worry. The ghouls will be back soon.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. General Amos has said to me that if he doesn't accept the negotiations, then there's an alternative way. And then she gave me the alternative way. And she was worried because she thought that maybe the alternative way would result in more deaths because of the suddenly huge amount of feral ghouls that are in the area. But if your people in your scarf manage to subdue that, then I don't think there's much of a threat at all.
If.
And if the people evacuate, they're going to drain the swamps and they're going to flush all the ghouls out to sea. And I don't think even ghouls can escape the ocean. It's like the sky, only downwards. It's very scary.
Again, not what she said. They were going to drain the swamps and then burn it with dragon fire.
Wash them out to sea. Same thing. They'll crash upon the sharp rocks of the cliffside and they'll be gone forever.
Note to future self, never make Tenwin a messenger. She will get the information so wrong.
Oh,
there will be so many diplomatic problems.
Oh, yeah.
And these are the people that you specifically, Zeb, have given the information to.
I regret nothing.
Nah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great fun.
Out of character. I am loving this immensely because I'm going to love seeing how this resolves.
Yes.
In character, if Amadeus learns about this, he's going to have to find a corner to cry in. Why? Anyway.
He'll find out of it.
One way or another, he'll find out, or he won't.
Amethyst summoning Tanwyn, it was her attempt to try and convince her not to do anything stupid and reckless. And then she gave her a bomb.
Yeah, why did she do that?
Because she was going to give it to the group anyway, and you were there.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Well, it's sort of like a, you know, a consolation prize. Like, hey,
hey.
Sorry you couldn't do the ghoul aside. Here's a little bomb
make
you feel safe.
All right, we'd better go and get him.
Yeah.
I know he hasn't eaten.
Well, you go get him. I'll try and get a plate of the crispiest potatoes I can.
Oh, save them for me.
I don't know why.
You know he won't appreciate
them. I was going
him.
After potatoes.
Yeah. He loves a bit of starch.
I'll get you some pork knuckle and elephant brisket.
Hey, that's more like it. All right, yes. I'll trot away into the hold until I find... Where would Amadeus usually be found around about dinner time? Would he be in his room, or would he be in the library, or where would he be?
Or does he have a study?
Mm.
He's in the prisons, had been hung by his ankles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't have a study. He's not that...
No, he has his own room.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
He's taken over a table in the library, and it's got, like, books, and he's just reading.
Give me an investigation check for the time that you have spent in the library.
Cool.
Is there anything specific that Amadeus is reading about?
Do you have the researcher background or something like that? I swear you have some background related to the library.
My Merc gives me my D4 dice is to investigation.
Mm. You will also have advantage on this due to just your... You know, history as an archivist.
Yeah. Yeah, actually helps slightly. 23.
Yeah, you know how to search a library really well. Especially one that is as well organized as this one.
I probably helped organize it in my spare time. When I first got here, it's like, this library is insufficiently organized.
Much to the librarian's chagrin.
The librarian either loves Amadeus or he hates him with a passion. Probably both.
Yes.
Anyway.
23, you said.
23.
Yeah, you pick two topics that your books that you have grabbed would be about.
Two topics. Given where we're going, Ishigar and ghouls. They seem the two most pertinent.
Mm-hmm.
Ishigar history of? Geography of?
Both. Just Ishigar, like whatever text we've got on Ishigar.
In terms of Ishigar, there's one book. There is not a lot in there. It is mostly about the art and lifestyle of the people. Because by the time this was written, Ishigar was ruins.
Mm.
Would the reports of the vanguards and the Durnia relating to Ishigar be in the library?
Yeah.
Probably nothing more than like, found five ghouls, killed them.
Yeah, more or less. And that also ties into, like, the information about the ghouls that you're getting. As previously mentioned, at least these ghouls are highly flammable. They also have a tendency to dive headfirst into the water when set alight. They are also almost always isolated to the Shadow Maw. They very rarely come out of there. That said, there is so many in there.
Yeah, we saw a whole bunch, and that's probably...
Only a fraction of the... That said, one of the pieces of information that you did get is that the water level around Ishiga has been steadily rising for the past 300 years.
Now, there's a couple of factors, actually. One being there's enough mass down there from people, bodies and stuff of ghouls going down there that the water's expanding, or there's something else in play that's just rising the water level, or both.
Yeah, what else would you get with the 23? You also know that ghouls paralyze you on hits.
Mm-hmm.
There would also be... They are scared of fire in general. They are particularly frightened of blue flames.
Will-o'-the-wisp?
Yeah.
Association, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There's also been notes that active... fights between will-o'-the-wisps and the ghouls. There's honestly not all that much information on them. Do you expand your search to ghouls outside of...
Yeah, I'll just...
In the ghouls in general.
Yeah, yeah, because if I'm not finding much information on the Ishiga ghouls specifically, after like the first hour to start going like ghouls, and you know, as a general... rule.
Yeah, ghouls are highly carnivorous and will, if necessary, resort to cannibalism.
Yeah, that's probably what's been keeping them in check. What probably.
Else? Probably.
There's also the monkeys.
And the fish.
Because I'm assuming there's probably the occasional missing person reports. And I mean the unreported ones from like the smugglers and stuff.
Yeah, and then there is one thing which I will give you with that 23. One, it seems more like an outlier than anything. You're not sure if it's a story or a report because it is. It's more like a loose sheet of paper that you found amongst books that just so happens to be talking about ghouls.
Okay.
And it mentions that you can temporarily stun ghouls with a high enough frequency sound.
Make a mental note of that. I don't have any way of... I do have a way of making sound. Prestidigitation and such things.
It is structured like a story about this young boy who held off a ghoul from attacking a family by basically just playing his flute really badly.
Got to get a couple of people with gongs.
No, make note of that. And by the end of that, I'm assuming...
The way that Tanwyn summons Amadeus to dinner is that she goes to the library first.
Uh-huh.
And she stands at the door of the library. And she goes... And if the librarian sees her, the librarian goes to get Amadeus. And if the librarian does not see her, she shouts, Amadeus! Into the library.
Actually, what happens is the moment you go to yell, the librarian casts silence on you.
Yeah.
The moment you go to talk, it's just, you actually hear her mutter under her breath, not her again, and this dome of silence hits you.
Amadeus, what? What's going on? Sorry? Did something... what's going on?
Tanwyn waves at the librarian.
The library's not that big. You hear Tanwyn just burst in.
Bang!
Yeah.
Both doors.
Hello, Tanwyn. Am I missing a meeting or something?
She's nodding because she's in the silence bubble.
Right.
She claps her hands, but you can't hear anything. And yeah, she beckons him over.
So, about her, which she says every time.
I will find a way to make it permanent.
Tanwyn waves sweetly at the librarian.
You cannot hear what she's saying because you're in the silence
She's
bubble.
Waving at her. She's like, yeah, friend the librarian, we have banter together.
Good luck. I've been trying since I've met her. Bye. Sorry for the mess. And by mess, he's like pile of books, reports, and everything else that he's left on the table.
She waves her hand and all the items that belong in the library just kind of start flying back towards their places on the shelves.
That is a lovely trick. I have to learn that someday. Today is not that day. So I'll follow Tanwyn.
All right, tea up. Oh. I know. You haven't eaten breakfast either.
That's why my stomach was growling.
Aye.
Okay.
We'll save some potatoes for you.
Ah, I like potatoes. Potatoes are nice.
And
crunchy.
General Amethyst called me in, said some stuff. We're leaving at dawn, so get everything on order. And don't tell Magnus this, because it'll go to his head.
Sure, okay, what are we...
But she said that we're the best team of Donia that she's ever had.
Sure, okay, it's good to know.
So make sure that's a feather in your cap. But
excellent.
Keep it on the down low, don't tell Mac.
I can do.
Complete tangent. My wife and I have been watching a lot of Survivor recently. Tanwyn would be the biggest cause of chaos on that show.
As soon as you said that and I replied with, I'm not going to tell them because it'll go to their heads, I was planning to tell both of them separately.
So, I'll follow her to the cafeteria and get potatoes and whatever else that Magnus has dumped on my plate.
All right, Magnus. Big day tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it'll go okay. I trust you both.
Just as a note.
Aye.
The crown is what is giving the king control over the ghouls.
Oh, well, now that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a crown of kin domination.
Oh!
Basically, if it's worn by a ghoul, they control all ghouls. If it's worn by a human, they can control all humans. If it's worn by a tiefling, just drink to myself, I can control all tieflings.
No.
If it's worn by a half-elf, do they control all elves and humans?
Oh, he's contested.
That's... I am currently unclear.
No, Armadeus, yes. I don't say this lightly, and you know I wouldn't say this lightly.
But?
I think that crown needs to be destroyed before anybody else finds out about that.
I have no objections.
Preferably with a big hammer.
As you are well aware, I am normally one for collecting magical stuff and handing it off to the library. But in this one instance, that is a dangerous artifact that I don't trust to give to anyone.
Aye. Let's keep that all the creatures thing to ourselves, shall we? That's pretty scary.
I mention it to the two of you because we're all going into this dangerous situation and I believe in informed decision making.
Tanwyn and Magnus share a guilty glance.
But I was not planning on making that particular piece of information public. Yeah, the crown's bad news.
Aye, I'm glad we can all agree on that.
I like food.
Aye, Tillian.
So he'll eat.
We'll while away the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
With some food and some conversation.
Unless there is anything anybody else would like to do before we skip forward to the next morning.
I've done all I want to do.
Yeah,
I think I'm...
Cool.
More sorted.
So when you awaken in the morning, about half an hour or so before dawn, so that you guys can depart at dawn, the hold is busy. It is alive with movement. It is an anthill at the moment. Honestly, it kind of reminds you of the Memoria Sanctorum a little bit. There is just movement everywhere. There are support staff that are shipping around carts full of equipment, taking them to different groups so that they can arm themselves, and people are getting ready, not for war, but definitely for a fight. As much as people want the peaceful solution to work, the higher ups aren't banking on it working.
I hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the Vanguard's motto.
To be fair, it's the de facto motto for Amadeus as well.
And eat your dinner. Whenever you can.
And yeah, you guys are geared up. You are given a few more supplies before you leave. You are each given a scroll of protection from evil and good.
Excellent.
As well as one greater healing potion each and two regulars. There is a great deal of tension in the air as you guys move forward to find your friendly dragon, Pradavnik.
Yay!
Hey, all, Pradavnik.
Yay.
Hello.
It's good to see you again, Pradavnik.
So,
I hope you've gotten some rest.
Yes.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I hope you've got a couple of books with you. We might be out for a minute or two.
Okay, sure.
Be careful out there, please, Pradavnik.
Why? Nothing's going to go wrong.
Nothing's going to go wrong.
Fair enough.
Amadeus doesn't look convinced, but...
It's only if you make a mistake.
Yeah, neither us will. We're ready to strike.
Anyway, let's get on, Pradavnik, and get the hell... Let's get this chaos train on the rails.
Strike the red-hot iron of peace while it's hot.
Mm-hmm. We're good at that.
The giant saddle that Pradavnik is being set up with is not one you've seen before.
Oh.
As even without making a check, this thing is heavily enchanted. Those who wish can make me an arcana or a history check. See if they know anything about this.
Okay, I'll roll. I will roll because I love to roll dice.
You dice gob on you.
Yeah. 3.
18 on arcana check.
Yeah, this is one of the emergency saddles that they kind of keep in reserves for emergencies when you guys got to go fast and move quickly.
Yeah.
This applies the effects of haste on the creature saddled with it.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
He's really going to be zooming.
Yes.
Nyum.
As, not only does it apply haste, but allows him to also dash as a bonus action. So it effectively quadruples their speed.
Tanwyn is not looking forward to this.
So you all mount up. Your boy Pradavnik looks caffeinated.
Woo!
As the sun begins to rise on the horizon and the ground crew give the all clear for him to launch, he hasn't even started flying yet, and you are already feeling the wind force against your face.
Tanwyn's eyes screw shut.
And he launches into the air, and it is so incredibly fast. Dragons have a 90-foot fly speed as it is.
Wow.
So multiply that by 4 and then convert that into numbers.
Real numbers, not
wow. 64 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
Wow. That's probably the fastest these guys have ever moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound all that fast. Like, that's just car speed.
No, it's pretty fast.
That's a creature moving at car speed.
Outside of a cockpit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are pressed against the thing.
Thankfully, one of the other enchantments on the saddle is the air bubble that forms around.
Car Devnik.
Yeah, and you guys then proceed to fly for about 8 hours straight. Before
we get there?
Yeah.
You'd think that 8 hours flying would be enough to do effective exposure therapy for heights for Tanwyn, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It's just as bad every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time, it's just as bad. The exposure therapy is not working for her. She gets off Protavnik at the other end. Her knees are shaking.
You guys land in the middle of the ruins of Ishigar. And I say land, it's more like a tumble, because speed.
Speed.
He was traveling at 64k an hour for 8 hours, and he's not a car or a plane that's designed to slow down from that speed naturally.
Tanwyn tumbles off, knees shaking, and just daggers off to a corner of the ruins to hold on to the bricks and just reacquaint herself with being on the ground. And she's done this before, but this one is a pretty big one. So while sometimes this might have escaped your notice where she just touches the ground a little bit, this time she's holding on, so it's quite noticeable. She's had a big fright.
You can see Amadeus trying to politely ignore her doing this because he knows Tanwyn prides herself on being brave and all that stuff. So
she's a big, brave girl, and after a moment, she takes a deep breath and turns to the other two and say, right, well, let's get to it then.
Also, while he's doing that, he's going to write all three of our names and Podavnik's name in the book for the protection.
Nice.
Because our boy Podavnik.
Yeah.
Cast Death Ward on an undead thing. Does that...
No.
I think that was more of a Generation 1 type of thing.
Close book. Put it in his usual pocket and, cool boy, let's go.
You guys walk into the boardwalk area of the town, now called Ishigar, and more or less as soon as you guys get to the boardwalk here, you are very quickly met by the sheriff.
Hi, Sheriff. You look troubled. What's up?
What did you do? And how do you stop it?
I
saved all your hides.
The town is surrounded by ghouls.
Ah!
That's always been the case.
No. Josh.
Every day I have one coming to my office asking, has Amadeus returned?
Hi, I have returned. Okay, I was not aware he was going to do that.
Is it always the same word or is it a monkey sometimes?
Yes, it is. And that's the weird part.
Okay, long story short, without going into details, we are trying to save people's bacon from the very obvious school problem.
Does Amadeus have a scroll case for a treaty agreement?
Do we have, like, evacuation orders? That kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. There are two leather scroll tubes.
Was I told to give one to the sheriff?
Correction. One leather and one metal. The leather one is to be given to the sheriff.
Metal one is for the king.
Yes.
The leather scroll case, this is for you.
She opens it and looks at it. That blasted insane.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi, we're the Dunya. We deal with insanity. This is just another Tuesday.
How are we supposed to convince everybody to leave their homes?
I don't know. I'm sorry. It was either this or become snacks.
You know what? That will convince a fair few people to leave their homes.
Sheriff, if it's any consolation, we're hoping that this won't last for very long. This is a temporary order. We're not expecting people to have to make their own way.
Yes.
This is just for their safety for as long as it takes for us to get them out of here. But
yes, it seems did you ever at any point read it?
No, I was just told to give it to you.
Okay. It seems that the Empress is getting the geomancers to construct a temporary township for us a few hours north of here. Oy. What in the hell is going on?
If we play it right, it'll be the end of the ghouls for good. And if we don't, well, we'd better hope we don't.
Right.
So, long story short, in the interim, I have to go negotiate with the king of the ghouls.
I'm glad I'm not you.
I wish I wasn't me, because I'm the only one he wants to talk to.
All of those ghouls, did they say go in a certain direction, or...?
Yeah, to the Shadow Ball.
I suppose that's...
Well, you've got your matching orders, Sheriff.
Looks like she's read it 3 or 4 times and still isn't fully comprehending what she's reading.
Yeah, that's right. Look, now that we're actually back here, Amadeus was his normal self on the way here, but now we're actually here. He's looking worried, and you don't often see a worried Amadeus.
Ooh.
Frustrated, yes. Annoyed, yes. Overconfident, a lot of the time, yes.
At least he's aware of it.
But...
he's such a brat.
Look, there was a reason he got lumped in with these two. And not just as a mitigating influence.
Just cancel out all the influences.
Yeah, so it's like, well, good luck, out of first speed. And Amadeus just start marching towards where we left our pontoon and to basically get this thing started.
As you guys move, I'll also let you know this, because this is not in the least bit hidden at all. The water level is now to the bottom of the boardwalk.
Ooh.
Huh.
It's rising and rising.
Yeah.
Okay, that's concerning.
It's also strange because at this level, it should be flowing over the edge of the cliffs.
Huh.
It is not.
More like a bubble or a rise.
You guys can't see it, but it seems as if there was a glass pane there.
Oh, very magical.
So yeah, let Tanwyn take a stick since she had a lot of fun with it the last time.
Oh, she did and all.
The moment you guys get to the pontoon, you are immediately surrounded on all sides by crocodilian ghouls. It seems you have an escort.
Just play it ghoul.
Boo.
Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Magnus takes 5 points of psychic damage.
No.
I was trying to play a ghoul.
Yeah.
He takes 20 more. But yes, with the 4 crocodilian ghouls right beside you, you don't even have to steer the pontoon itself, as the 4 of them each put a claw on the pontoon and swim off.
Scary.
As you are taken back to the mound that you had once had this conversation. And noticeably, the water level dips down. It is like there is a giant invisible bowl placed around this mound so that it is still above the water. And there in the middle of this mound is a table with 2 chairs, one of which sits the Ghoul King Tiberian Ishigar. And unfortunately, that is all the time that we have at the moment. There is more to this story that will be shared when next we meet.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.